The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This is issue number 71, where John and I get into a pretty good discussion about October Faction, Netflix's latest interpretation of a comic book. Well, not so latest. It's been out for a little while, a month or so. We start off spoiler-free, small leftover topic from last week that John wanted to talk about. But then we talk spoiler-free October Faction till about 20-minute mark or so. Then we lock the door, and John and I, we actually think there's a lot of layers to this show, and we'd love to hear what you guys think. Because there's a lot of room for discussion about this show, like we say, many layers. But enough of me. Let's find out what we think of the show and head into the store. Johnny, it's another Monday. We're back. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Good. Trying to come in excited on a Monday morning.
Coming in hot.
Brighten things up.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Short.
Yeah, always. Not like last weekend was a long weekend. Did you take Monday off last week?
No.
You don't get that off, no.
Well, I mean, I could. I just didn't.
You could take every day off, just like me.
Yeah. I should have. I would have made more money being at home than I did being open, but.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
What was the topic that you talked about at the end that we didn't mention? We forgot to mention something in last week's podcast, and you said that you brought up at the end.
Stranger Things.
Non-spoiler.
Yeah, the big non-spoiler.
Spoiler,
Hopper is alive. Netflix put out a trailer for season 4 of Stranger Things, and, you know, the big hook at the end of season 3 was that, you know, we were supposed to believe that Hopper was dead.
Maybe.
I don't know if he was in that cell or whatever. We both said that, speculated when we did our show on it.
I think the world did, but yeah.
Yeah, still, right. I don't think anybody really thought he was dead, but it still was like their hook. Like, it was what was supposed to get you to come back and watch season 4.
Right.
And it's like they just blew it out there in the trailer. I was like, well, okay. He's in Russia, which, no surprise.
I said when we did.
It surprised me that they did their
that
big
early.
Reveal, their reveal yeah. like that, yeah.
I'm not super enthralled with that one either. I'm like, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I think we said it when we did season 3.
We were
like, is this going to be, is season 4 going to be another, it's supposed to be Stranger Things, but it's been the same thing.
Right, yeah, we said that, you know, I want another Stranger Thing.
Because hopefully it's something
kinda
else. But
it's just kind of rehashing at this point. It's all been season 1. Over and over again in different fashion so far.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will go in a different direction. I mean, hey, we're in Russia now, at least. Maybe we're going to take place somewhere else besides their little small town.
Yeah. The underworld or whatever they call it, the upside down.
The upside down, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's been bothering me all weekend. I'm glad we got that off our chest that we forgot to mention that in last week in Thursday's podcast. So, whew. Now I can rest easy.
I was going to say, yeah, so wait. It's a load off.
Yeah, exactly.
weight lifted.
hey, those covers. I think out of the three, so you had listed the Inyuk Lee, Captain Marvel, and the Dan Panosian? Is that the name?
Panosian, I think.
Panosian? Panosian? Whatever. Dan, yeah, that one.
Dan, that guy.
Yeah. My favorite's Inyuk Lee's.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the Matina, it's funny, you were with me when I saw it, and I was like, eh. And you said what you said while I was looking at it, exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's like, I'm so used to the Matinas being like, oh,
yeah.
I can't wait. And I actually said that to you. I can't wait to see this one. Yeah.
You expect to see certain things in his covers, and it's, you know, definitely got his style, but it's not his best. It's not his best cover.
No, but much like what was it? Was it Riddler? The last one that we talked about, and it had the shadow of in his hat. Yeah. This one has the shadow on the back of Penguin.
Right.
You could see it in the back of his coat. But the one thing I thought about this, and maybe that's why I don't feel it's as strong, is that it's very a lot more white. Typically, his are darker. The backgrounds are even dark with maybe a little splash of color or something. But this one here, I don't know. It's like it definitely suits Penguin. I mean, it captures that. Yeah, I was just like, oh, but it has a whiter background, so maybe that's why it's not as dramatic to me.
Yeah.
But the In-Hyuk Lee Captain Marvel is really, really good.
Really cool, yeah.
That's very dramatic.
Yeah, something else, too, not to rehash our whole Thursday show, but one of the books that I forgot to mention that I read that did you read Flash Forward number 6?
No.
Have you been reading Flash Forward?
No.
Okay, Flash Forward number 6 is a complete game changer. Like, it is going to have a ripple effect through the DC universe that's going to be felt for a while. So
really?
Yeah. It's definitely... Now, again, you kind of have to have read, you know, it's like going out and saying, read the whole... You really need to read the whole miniseries. I wouldn't recommend just going and picking up number 6, but... Like, it is going to have impact very quickly in the DC universe. It's going to play out with a lot of things that are upcoming here pretty soon. So, it was a great read. And the series was good. Yeah, it's worth picking up. But that number 6, I was a little shocked when I read it. And it's going to have some lasting impact. You know, again, if you were unhappy with where Wally was at the end of Heroes Reborn, or Heroes in Crisis, rather.
Yeah.
You know, this definitely takes him to another takes him to another place. Let's put it that way.
All right.
Pretty good.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
I will see if I can check that out. I think I have them all.
Oh, do you have them? I would say, because if you don't have them at this point.
I think, well, we do.
You might as well just wait for the, true, we do.
Yeah.
You might as well just wait for the trade paperback at this point, because I don't know if stores have all 6 issues. Although I still have all 6 issues at the store. But yeah, it's definitely worth a read. And it's a fun miniseries, but this last issue really is going to have an impact. It's actually means something. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Check it out. All right. You want to get into October Faction?
Sure.
All righty. I have the trailer handy right here.
As you
we'll
do.
We'll play that. We'll come back and we'll delve into the latest, well, not latest, it's like a month old now,
isn't it? It's a month old, came out January 23rd, I think is what it said.
Yeah, Netflix, latest Netflix, their latest interpretation of a comic book. So let's check this out.
Agent Dolores Alex.
Being a parent is hard. Except in our case, of course.
You don't have to do this, you know.
Can't let you go?
Yes, you can.
Mm-mm.
Nice conversation. I've been
gone. All signs point to a highly active October. I need my top agents.
Welcome to Presidio.
Presidio's sole aim isn't killing monsters. It's understanding them. How are Viv and Jeff handling the transition?
Viv and I are being cruelly ripped from our lives and dragged into Pleasantville.
17-year-old twins. Scarier than anything I've ever faced in the field.
Wow. Parents of the year.
Evil ways.
Hey, girl. We were going to try to real-life seance.
Seances freak me out. We should totally do one.
Right?
What's happening?
The cell's been taken out.
It must be terrifying to live in fear. Knowing how weak you really are. Something evil.
What the hell?
I drew this before the accident.
You okay?
Like it or not, some things in this world need killing.
My parents are busy saving the world.
Oh, Jeff, you are too much.
I hate October.
So, first off, if you haven't seen this, we'll go spoiler-free for a little bit. It's spoiler-free, but I think the trailer is a little misleading.
Okay.
It's got clips. All that is clips from the show.
Right.
But all of that something, and we'll get into it when we get into spoilers, and you'll understand why. But I feel like that's, you know, it I love the music in that trailer. It's pretty cool. I love the trailer's really good. But I felt like it's like if you really pay attention to that trailer, it doesn't really have the meaning of the show and what the show's about. And we'll get into that in spoilers. But yeah, I just wanted to say that first off. But what did you think? Did you like the show?
I did like the show.
Did you?
Yeah. So October Faction, you know, like we mentioned, it is based off of a comic from IDW. It's pretty, there's quite a bit of it. Like there's, I think, 7 graphic novels.
Is there? I haven't read any of them.
That go with this. I've actually not read any of it either. I did say after I watched this show that I wanted to go in and start picking them up and reading them, but you know, I read a lot of books, so it's not really going to happen anytime soon.
It's tough.
Yeah. But for instance, you know, what the show we're going to talk about next week, Lock and Key, you know, I finished with that as well, and I am reading those books. So I guess I liked it a little better because I made time to start reading Lock and Key. Whereas I didn't.
Well, way to give away next week's show.
Well, I didn't start reading October Faction. But it's not that I didn't dislike it. I actually liked the show. But it's set up, obviously, it depends, you know, I don't know how this performs for Netflix. Like, they never give us numbers or anything. So,
right.
But I mean, it's set up to have multiple seasons, you know, if they so choose, because there's a lot of story that's been told through the graphic novels. So. I'm getting the sense that you didn't like it quite as much.
No, actually, I really did enjoy it. It's a slow build. I thought the first three, I'd say that at least the first three episodes were slow for me. It was, it didn't grab me right away. And it's one of those things, honestly, after the first episode, if we weren't doing the show, I don't know if I would have continued. And again, I've said it many times since day one of this podcast. I've been exposed to a lot more things because of this podcast, and I'm grateful for that. And this is another one of those things. By the end of it, I was really it was a real slow build. But once you get to like probably episode 5, you just want to keep going.
Right.
And that's what ended up happening with my wife and I. She really enjoyed it too. Once you get to 5, you do like 5, you 6, and then, you know, she's like, oh, I can't do another one. She's like too tired or whatever, but we really wanted to continue and keep binging. But one and, you know, we did one and I was like, and again, this was also back when I wasn't feeling, so I was like kind of in and out anyways.
Right.
So maybe that had something to do with it, but.
Yeah. Cause I didn't find it to be that slow.
It just didn't grab me. You know, like you ever read a book and you're like, it's just not grabbing you. But then well, that's how this felt. It was like, it just like.
Watchmen was like that for me.
Oh, yeah.
The show, not the book. The show when we talked about Watchmen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So and we'll get into it in spoilers on why it grabs you, I think. And it created conversations in the house.
Right.
But what did you think of the overall story and the acting?
Well, I mean, I thought the story was good. You know, again, not being familiar with it, you know, I didn't know the book at all. And I don't know how closely this even follows the graphic novel, because like I said, I haven't read it. You know, I thought it was intriguing. But, you know, the setup is that basically they're monster hunters, right? They're the parents, Fred and Dolores. They work for a government agency called Presidio, and they're monster hunters. And I guess the gist I got from this was that October seems to be like the high season, of when the monster activity is at its strongest. They don't really ever go into why that would be, but
I think it has something to do with Halloween or something.
But yeah, just the time of of year. But
right,
but you know, all the flashbacks that we see throughout the season are always going back to a different October. You know, the setup is they're monster hunters, and they have two twin 17-year-old kids that they've adopted that don't know what they do. They think they're insurance salesmen. But for some reason, as insurance salesmen, they're like globe-hopping insurance salesmen. Like they're, you know, you would think it's like a military family. Like they're always being stationed in different countries because of the Presidio. But as these kids, like, the thing I thought was weird is like they don't question why they're moving from country to country and state to state as insurance agents. Like,
right.
All that being said, you know, they're in Japan to start the show, and the guy finds out that his father died, and they all have to go home. When they get to their home, you know, you find out that the father was also part of this organization. The kids don't want to be there. You know, they loved being in Japan. Now they're
I'm laughing because I'm thinking in my head, sorry to interrupt, but in my head, I'm like, okay, is this Lock and Key?
Well, that's why I was saying too, like this is very similar to Lock and Key in the sense that they come back to their ancestral roots. Home.
Yeah.
Right. They have to come back to their roots.
But it's like the father died in the first episode.
Now it goes, they go in different directions from there. But the setup, right, as I'm even saying it, and I was telling you that even before we started, that I have both of these shows kind of jumbled up in my head because I just kind of finished watching both of them. And the setups are very similar. You know, they end up back at their ancestral home, back to their roots, and hijinks ensue from there, right?
Hijinks.
You know, we'll get into more of that with the spoilers. But yeah, I thought the acting was good. I liked all the characters. I thought everybody was engaging, like they all had, you know, a good story arc. And like I said, I thought the overall story was really good. Like, it had a lot of twists and turns. I didn't see them. Some of them I saw coming and some of them I didn't. But I think overall it was, like I said, I really liked it. I think it was a good story.
I thought the acting was decent. I thought it was a good representation of a family. I thought the kids were like, I found myself saying, like, almost every episode, like, oh, kids, especially at that age, they're so like, and we'll get into it in spoilers, but you get into that whole like, oh, a little bit of information is a dangerous thing. And that's what kids, when they're like 17 years old, they think they're like, well, now I've figured the world out. So they know everything. And it's, so I thought the kids did the kids playing the characters did a really good job of giving you that sense of like they feel like they know everything and they like a typical 17-year-old kid.
Well, right. Yeah. They figured it all out by then because they're 17. So.
And of course, in this world, we're still trying to figure it out as a viewer. So,
right.
You know, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. There was the one woman that had the hair change like halfway through the season or something.
Hair change. Which?
Like her hair color changed. The mother. What was that?
I don't even remember that. To be
you didn't
honest
see
with you.
That?
I mean, I'm sure I did, but it didn't stick out to me. Like
the grandmother.
Oh, the grandmother.
She started out with like dark hair, and then it goes to like white hair.
Yeah.
Or something unexplained, anything. Just all of a sudden, she's like, and it was like weird. Like Jen and I were like, "What happened?"
Like, I don't know why. Yeah, it didn't really stand out to me at all.
Didn't her hair have? Wasn't that a different color?
I liked her though. Like I thought she was one of the better characters.
Yeah.
She had a pretty good arc throughout the whole.
Yeah, she was a badass.
Season. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just figured she went to the salon somewhere in between episodes.
Yeah, this
because
was, but
she disappears, right? She goes back to New York.
Right.
And then she comes back. So I guess I just assumed she went and got her hair done. Like it didn't really.
A big change.
Didn't really stand out to me at all. So
I thought there was some good humor. I thought there was some good, like, sarcasm, some good humor. And there's a lot of, and it is spoiler free, but there's a lot of comic references like of like other superheroes in the world, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Spoiler free. You want to get into it?
Yeah. I always want to. You know me. I always want to get into it.
I always act. I don't
know why we even bother. Like,
because I like to see you get all agitated. You're like, I just want to spoil.
No, it's not that. It's just
no. I know
the show is October Faction. Like, we're not going to go spoiler free. So why bother?
Right.
You know.
All right. We'll lock the door.
All right.
All right, all locked up. We're safe now, John, so you can feel free to spoil away.
All right.
What do you want to say first, spoilers?
I don't know.
Monsters!
Rosebud is a sled.
All right. I thought, well, as we like to do, we jump around.
Yeah.
So this started off slow to me because I didn't understand where this story was going. I knew it had to do with they were monster hunters. I got all of that. But once it started to pick up for me is when you realized the racial undertones and the meaning of the show on like what a monster is. And this is what I thought of like for our discussion is that, and Jen and I had this discussion a bunch of times while watching the show, is that they're monster hunters and the entire meaning of the show is what's the monster?
Right.
And it was, and we laughed. Jen and I got angry at times talking about this because she's like, but they're monsters. And I was like, but you're just saying that because you were told they're monsters. And I'm like, what you basically said is like the basis of racism. And it's like, you're told through this entire series that these people are monsters, but you aren't given any evidence of why. And then when you find out, you realize it's like, that's how racism works. That's how like, it's that ignorance. And that's what really drew me to this show is that deeper meaning. And by the end of it, you're like twisted all around because that's what this is about. And it's like, I thought they did a really good job and it almost starts off slow on purpose because it's just setting up like, okay, you think this is a comic book story and you're just going to say, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. And then it's what it like around episode 5 or so where you're like, wait a minute. The bad guys aren't necessarily the bad guys.
Right. Well, and they even, I mean, you get your first hint of that in like, I don't even remember. It's like the second or third episode when they go to the grocery store, right? They're at the dad's funeral and I don't know what they ran out of. They ran out of something. And for some reason, like the two people whose funeral, like it was his dad's funeral, but they decide they're the ones that have to run to the store to get whatever they need. But yeah, they run into two vampires basically in the store. And like the vampires are pleading their case, like, hey, we just want to leave. Like, we don't want any trouble. Yes, I just killed this guy, but hey, that's what we do. We have to eat, right? We're vampires. We can't help it. But we just want to leave. Like, we don't want any harm. Right. We don't want any trouble. But they won't let them, of course, because they have to kill all the monsters. So they start to set it up a little bit, but you don't really feel bad for the vampires at that point.
No, because they had already
they did kill somebody.
So, that's what I mean. It's like, I agree with you that they're hinting at it there, but what they're doing is they're still giving you a reason to dislike them.
Right.
But as the story goes on, and I thought they did more of it with the daughter and her, she had more empathy for them. So that created, and then that's where it kind of like blossomed from there through the story in that you could see that, okay, well, you know, this character isn't necessary. And it's one of those things that you and I have said many times, talking Star Wars, talking this, talking that, whatever, that it just depends on which side you're on. Everybody thinks they're the good guy.
Well, right. Again, and you're always the hero to your own story.
But what I thought was cool is like this was a comic book story that basically points out the basis of, and what my wife and I were saying is that I'm not crazy about the term racism in this. I think we use racism a little too liberally nowadays, not to turn this podcast into like this big political thing, but it's more about, it's not racism, it's prejudice.
Right.
It's prejudice, you know? So it's which is what racism is. It's,
well, actually, in this case,
race.
In this show, it is racism more than anything because they're actually different races. Like, you have humans, you have vampires. It's actually more the definition of racism than anything.
Right, but racism is based, all racism is a prejudice. You're prejudging an entire race based on what? And as this show went on, it's like you as the viewer were viewing these people as monsters. And that's why, like, my wife and I got into the discussion. She goes, but they're the monsters. And I go, why? Because you were told they're monsters? But maybe that's not, and I use the line to her as I said, look, a cat is the monster to the mouse.
Right.
Right? But like, we're the monster to a cat. If we're attacking, it's whoever's bigger. It's the perception. So we've been told they're the monsters. Maybe they're not monsters.
Well, right. Well, and they play that out because again, with the mom, the Dijin, right?
Yeah.
You get all their, so they're giving you the backstory there, and they're showing you that they're not monsters. Again, they just want to be left alone and they want to live. You know, they had right. their town where they lived in, and they weren't out to bother anybody. The mom makes friends with the one that ends up being in the Presidio, trying to help her because she thinks, right. you know, she's in an abusive relationship, and, you know, she gets sucked in by this agent from the Presidio. But the so-called monster has nothing but compassion and empathy for this woman and just wants to be her friend and help her. You know, so they're setting it up where, you know, you're conflicted about who's the monster and who isn't.
Right.
But to the parents that are the killers, you know, they're all monsters until it's their kids. And then all of a sudden it's completely different, right? Because you find out that the kids are, you know, you knew they were adopted, but you find out they're the children of the main antagonist, which is the
monsters.
Yeah, the monster.
They're part of the monster.
Right.
You know, they would be, by definition, monsters.
Right.
That's what was, it was just such a cool way of doing it. It's like, right. it was really like, I liked Carnival Row better, but it was a lot like that on that whole, you know, that prejudice thing.
Right.
And I really like when a story does that for you and does that to you, and it brings out that, like, the discussion and the emotion and everything about it.
Right.
And it only got more convoluted as it went on. And all the while, I thought it was really entertaining.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was, like I said, it was a fun ride, but yeah, you know, your two characters. Now, you have the parents, right? The mother and father. They're in different, you know, they had different mindsets too. Because the dad, like, you could tell he's losing his taste for it. Like, he's not as gung-ho as he was when he was younger about being a monster hunter. You know, he's already starting to second guess what he's doing. Whereas the mom, she's still all in. You know, she doesn't have any compunctions about killing. To the point where, even going back to the beginning in the grocery store, she's the one that does the killing, not the dad. Like, he's talking and he's reasoning, and she just comes in and, you know, puts him down.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit more accepting, and he's willing a lot easier. He's a lot more willing to see their side of the story.
Right.
You know, to the point where they end up working with a team of monsters to take down the, you know.
Right. Which, at the
bad
end,
guys.
It's like, yeah, they're not really, it's, they're not monsters.
But right, they're not monsters.
A different race.
They're just a different race who wants to exist. And they don't want to, you know, again, nobody, you don't get on the lion for eating the gazelle, right? I mean, that's just what they do.
Correct. Right.
They're not, the lion is not evil. Right. The lion just has instincts and he survives. That's what these individuals are doing. Right. They just survive. They're not evil necessarily, but they're persecuted because they're different.
The mentality of Presidio was very similar to, like, when a mountain lion, like in California, mountain lion will kill a child.
Right.
But the child was up in the mountain.
Right.
Right. And it's like, oh, okay, well, now we got to go hunt that down because they kill children.
Right.
Well, how about we keep the children away from the mountain lion? We don't have to, you know, so.
Well, again, you're right. You don't get mad at the shark when he eats you in the ocean, right?
Well, they do.
Well, they do, but, like, you shouldn't, because you don't belong there.
Right. If you're walking down Main Street and the sharks start coming out of the water, then yeah. But you know what I mean? But the entire basis of Presidio was that mentality of, oh, well, if you're going to eat us, we're going to come and attack you, and we've got to eradicate the world of these people,
right?
Of these monsters, because we think everybody is, they're all like this, and they're not. And plays out, the real monster was the father, the main father at the beginning, like the grandfather of the children, the adopted children.
Right.
But he ends up being the main monster because he's the one that is raising his kid, and his oldest son is the one that really took to it, and he just liked to kill.
Right.
And it was, you know what I mean? So it's like, and they were the ones that were teaching that they're all bad.
Well,
which isn't necessarily the case.
Well, and
that's where the prejudice comes in.
Well, right. And the Presidio in my mind, the Presidio became the monsters because, again, I can go, even the theory, what, like you mentioned, the mountain lions, and you have to eradicate the mountain lions because they killed the kids. Even if I go along with that line of thinking, I'm okay with it to a certain degree until you start torturing the mountain lions. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if your goal is just to eradicate the mountain lions and you humanely, you know, put a bullet in its head and put it down, that's one thing. But right. when you take it back to your lair and you start right. pulling its toenails out, and so right. that's where the Presidio really becomes the monsters, because they right. are experimenting and they're torturing and they're,
well, like they said, like, you know, in my scenario, you go and kill the lion, the mountain lion that killed the kid.
Right.
In Presidio was going to kill all mountain lions.
Well, right. But again, even wanted, if they
and
were
that's
doing
why they
it.
They studied them. They wanted to learn everything right. they could about them, take them apart piece by piece, learn their, I think they even said, learn about their molecular structure.
Right.
So that they could be able to kill them better.
Right.
You know, and eradicate the world of these quote monsters. And at like you said, they're the ones by the end of it that you realize, well, they're the monsters.
Right.
They're but I think the father, the grandfather, ends up being the main monster, because he's the one that's teaching this. He's right. the one that's leading Presidio in the direction that every monster must go.
Well, right. In any fashion, you know,
anybody different from right. us needs to go. Which and that's what I said. I thought this is such a strong show for that. It'd be like, it just shows how prejudice leads down that road,
right.
and how bad it is, and how much it's based in ignorance. They're like, look, we have this one piece of fact, and that's all we're going to go by. We're going to ignore everything else.
Right.
And every other character had a bit of different fact that they went with and were a little bit uneasy, but that it's that one father, the patriarch of the family,
right.
that just like ruled Presidio and, you know, was the worst part of it.
Right.
I mean, the younger son that watched his brother die, he was just a more compassionate person to begin with.
Right.
So that's why. And then his wife, who he meets, you find out later, she goes on her tirade out of guilt. And it's like, and she's just been harboring that her whole life. And that's right. why she was like more of the killer. But because I don't think she ever wanted to stop, because if she stopped, she would have had to think why she was doing
right.
it.
Well, and the dad too, because he's motivated by revenge, right? Because he sees his older brother being killed by this monster. And that's kind of what fuels him to be in the Presidio and do what he does.
Right, but he also had...
Until you find out that the reason why they killed the brother is because he tortured the family
right.
of this monster. He killed the wife and children, and it was... You know,
but so even before that, one brother sees the other brother get killed, right?
Right.
The father's name was Fred. So the brother that survives, his name's Fred.
Right.
He sees his brother get killed. Now, yes, he's motivated by revenge, but he's also got that piece of motivation that monster didn't kill him.
Right.
And for the rest of his life, as much as he wants to hunt monsters, he also knows they're not all bad,
right.
because if they were all bad, he'd be dead too.
Right.
And you see it in that scene when the guy that he ends up working with
right.
later, he walks by him when he was younger, and he's like, he says something like, maybe we're not the monsters, or
yeah.
something like that to him.
Something.
And walks up and leaves him alive. And so he's got that conflict going on the rest of his life, and that's why I felt like the wife was more apt to kill, but I thought she wanted to kill because she was just motivated out of like, look, I have to keep doing this because I feel guilty. This is my mistake. And if I stop for a second to think about what I'm doing, it'll be even worse.
Right.
So she just kept going. Cause when she finally admitted it, she was like breaking down. And I thought the kids were a great mix of that.
Yeah.
I thought that they were raised by these people, and through most of the show, you don't know where these kids came from.
No, you don't.
And they did, as parents. They knew they were, quote unquote, these kids were going to be grow up and be monsters. And I'm using quotation fingers because they're not monsters, but that's what they were called in the show.
Right.
The opposing side or whatever. And these kids are from the opposing side, but they raised them as their own.
Well, and I think they thought because they did something. Oh, they were drugging them. That's what it was. They were
drugging them
through their entire lives to repress their powers. So I
Correct.
Think they felt like, you're right. They knew that they were, you know, like you said, quote unquote monsters from the very beginning. But, you know, they had
vitamins.
That, right. But they were drugging them to suppress their powers and hoping that they would never find out. And I think they thought that, you know, because of what they were doing, you know, they could be humans and nobody would ever know the difference. But obviously that, you know, we saw how that worked out for them. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that they had, again, they had this mentality that they all had to go, yet they knew those kids all along, you know, like I said, were monsters and didn't seem to care about that.
Right. They didn't care. They took those kids in, you know, they were warlocks.
Right.
And so actually I'm just thinking, so that means there's three races. There's human, warlocks, and then whatever were those vampires or what were
Well,
those
there was
other
no, there's
monsters?
Multiples. There was vampires. They mentioned vampires and werewolves and.
Oh, that's the other thing. They did mention, like, they mentioned some DC characters. They mentioned some Marvel characters in the world.
Yeah.
As they were talking, they mentioned, like, I thought they mentioned the Hulk. I thought they mentioned some, like, DC characters. And, like, that got, like, I said to my wife, I'm like, is that, like, I think they mentioned the Hulk. Like, when the Hulk goes, like, mad, he just, like, goes crazy.
Right.
He just becomes the Hulk, whereas I think a character in the show, they controlled themselves.
Right.
I can't remember what it was.
I don't either. Like sometimes
I don't remember
that stuff,
the scene. But there was a lot of references to like the Marvel and DC universes, almost like they're included in this world.
Right.
Like I felt like some of their references meant like, you know, like Superman could show up in this world.
Oh, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like it was pop culture references, just like you and I would do. You
right,
know.
But that's what my wife said.
I was drawn in by that because I was like,
if there's werewolves, vampires, and warlocks, why can't there be Supermen? You know, so I
no,
was
to me
like
it was just like
in.
They're just kids that read comic books and watch movies.
Yeah,
you know, that's how I took it. You know, and that's why maybe they didn't stand out to me as much because they're references that we make every day, anyways. So it just kind of felt natural for them to say that too. You know, he hulked out or something like that. That wouldn't make me think that the Hulk was going to show up in the show at all. So,
no, I know. And it's a valid point because I know my wife had that same point. We were going back and forth and I was like, yeah, but I feel like it's like this. I feel like they're saying like the Hulk really exists.
Yeah.
And then she goes, yeah, but wouldn't you just say that? And I think she said that. Wouldn't you just say that to John? I'm like, yeah, but I like my idea better.
Wow, yeah.
It's like, I like my idea better. It's like, maybe he does exist. I don't know. But, I thought that made it fun. That was one of the fun things I thought. There were a lot of pop culture references throughout
the
entire, you know, was it 10 episodes?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, and the more we talk about it, the deeper I feel like it was, you know? Like, true to fashion, like, we weren't sure what we were going to talk about at all when we started talking about this show. And,
right.
You know, we've gone into all
these.
Well,
I knew I was going to bring that up. I just didn't know how deep we were going to go.
Yeah, into all these different things. But I think this show had a lot of layers to it. And like I said, it was pretty well done. You know, when you look at it as a whole, there was a lot there, you know.
That's the thing I just mentioned a second ago. When we were talking spoiler free, you had mentioned that the kids are adopted. But we didn't find that out right away.
No, we didn't.
We thought they were their kids, and then you find out that part where the mother gets stabbed.
Right.
And can't have kids, and then you're like, well, if she can't have kids, where did they come from?
Right. That's true. And we didn't know right from the very beginning, but.
And I thought that was, they, like I said, it's like, I thought this show was a slow build, but I think there's a reason for that. And that's why it's like, I'm so glad I stuck with it. It was stuff like that. Like the, you know, it looks like a normal family. Well, there you go. You prejudged. You were wrong. There's so many little layers to this thing. And it's like, and of course, it's a mixed race family.
Right.
So you have all of these things that, and you should have known. Maybe that's where this story was going. It's like, why are you judging that? Just because what they have kids, you think they're theirs?
Right.
it's like, why did you make that judgment? You know, it just like there were so many twists and turns. And it was so, I don't want to say politically charged, but I thought it was just such a good job of pointing out that, and I've always said that to my kids, it's like prejudices aren't bad.
Right.
It's not bad to prejudge something. it's bad to stick with it if it's wrong.
Right.
You know, because prejudices are, that's something to protect you. You know, you're walking down a dark alley and there's a bunch of people on the side of the road. What are you going to do? I don't care what color they are or whatever. You're going to go to the other side. Right. It doesn't matter. It's just like, it's a group of people. Okay. It's just safer. If I'm alone on the other side, I'm safer than walking through a crowd of unknown people. Right. Right. That's why, because you saw in a movie that could be a gang or some whatever. So you're prejudging the situation and you're going around it. But it's when you take those prejudices and all of a sudden you're like, well, that's how all people are. All people that are out at night are bad people.
Right.
Well, no, that's not true. And that's what I thought this show was good at, is they took these people, they had these strong rooted prejudices, and then by the end they reevaluated, and I mean the way they wrapped it up with everybody working together, and right. I mean, and there was a ton of killing going on too.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't get more like, well, this one killed that one's brother. That one killed the old, you know, his brother killed their whole family. They've been torturing. And it's funny because, like you said, super entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun.
How about the kids and their superpowers? They each had different ones. And what, the brother could see, he could see dead people.
Right.
And you didn't know that. And
no, again, right. You didn't know that guy was dead.
Yeah. Again, it's like, why would you assume that guy's alive? Right. But yeah, it's like, so you didn't know that guy was dead. And then the dead guy
sets him up too.
Yeah.
He says, go tell so and so, Steve. Yeah. Go tell Steve that I'm going to get my own ride home or something like that. And then everybody looks at him. He's like, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Yeah. The dead guy's name, I think, was Steve.
Yeah.
And he's like, go tell him Steve said he's going to get his own ride home.
Right.
And you're like, why would you say that? And he's like, what? What'd I do?
Yeah. He has no idea what he did until he realizes he's being had by a ghost.
But yeah, they had that speaking of the brother, they had that whole play going, that whole thing going on that in the school. Like, well, he was gay, and then the kid that he liked, he was gay, but he couldn't tell anybody. He had a girlfriend.
Right.
But he didn't want anybody to know that he was gay. So they were manipulating their breakup so that it could, I mean, it was, I thought a little bit like a shell game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, look at this over. You think this is, that's really not part of the story. That's normal kids acting like kids. The main part, the meat of the story was this whole monster thing that you have going on. But it felt like, normally in storytelling like this, the monster stuff is just supposed to be entertaining while we tell you a stronger story about, hey, these two gay kids and what it's like growing up and how they have to deal with it. And that wasn't the story.
Right.
And the daughter can see the future.
Right.
And pretty good artist.
Yeah.
Good with the charcoal and red.
Yeah.
Like, black and white with a little bit of red in every drawing. And she's all freaking out. Which is like, she's doing these drawings and you find out later, she keeps finding out like, oh, I drew this and then it happened.
Right.
So I thought, again, all of this stuff is like misleading. Like you don't know, you know, you're like, is this part of the story? What's going on here? And it's like the whole story is, it's a lot deeper than these little tiny things that are, or they didn't seem tiny at the time.
Yeah. Cause there was that whole thing with the, you know, the friend where, you know, she tells her friend she drew the future, and then the friend just wants to, you know what's going to happen to her, you know.
Right.
Wants to know
her future. Trying to manipulate her. All right. Last thing, and this is kind of weird. We really talked about, like, the whole meat of this story and everything that what this was about, and I feel like it's really powerful. It's like, I'd almost go as far to say, like, this is a great series to show teenagers and to teach them about prejudice, because you could really, this could be something that you could teach in school. Like, you had some preconceived notions as episode after episode one and episode, and look at what happens by the end, and you were all wrong and this and that, whatever. Right.
Right.
Do we need a season two? I don't know what the books are like, but I feel like this was such a great story. What are we going to do? What could you do in season two? It'd just be a monster hunting show then.
Well, yeah, I guess the dynamic of the show changes a lot, right? Because now from here on out, it's basically our family of characters against the Presidio, you know, more or less, because
right.
Because, yeah, the undertones have been exposed, right? Our Fred and Dolores are now no longer brainwashed by the Presidio into thinking they have to kill all the monsters.
Right.
Now, in a sense, they become, like, I don't think Presidio thinks they're monsters, but they definitely feel like now they're threats that might need to be eliminated. Even though right. Presidio is now kind of being run by their mother.
The right? mother. And it's like... But you know what I mean? Like that whole undertone and that whole meaning of the show
right,
to me
exposed.
Is gone.
Right, right.
And it's like now we just get into a story about, okay, well, who's it, who, you know, team right. A against team B.
Right. And again, we don't know because I don't know where the book goes. And I don't know, again, if these themes, I don't even know if these same themes are in the graphic novels at all or how quickly they become resolved.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what the story is. I guess to your point, I feel like we don't need a season two to define the rest of the story for us, but
right.
I definitely want more of it. So, like, I'm not satisfied to the point where I don't want to see any more. So,
no, I'll watch season two. I'm just wondering.
I'd be interested to see where it goes from here.
Right, right.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, like I said, our heroes are all kind of now on the outside looking in. And they're definitely going to be on the opposite side
right.
going forward. Again, where they go from here, I'm not 100% sure. But like I said, I know there's more story out there to be told because it's already there. So.
All right.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I was gonna compare it to Lock and Key, but you haven't finished it yet, so I'm not gonna. I stopped saying what I was gonna say, so I guess I'll throw that into the end of. That episode when we get there because I don't want to spoil.
Is there a strong comparison?
Well, just in the sense that I don't know where season two of that could go either. You know,
okay.
Because if I feel like they found most of the keys and did, you know what I mean?
Oh, don't tell
well,
me. That.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
No. I'm just kidding.
you know, I don't know how many cooler keys they can find in seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You know,
right?
So. But again, I'm sure it's going somewhere too. So that was all right. I was going to say. But I'll bring it up when we get to the end of that episode.
All right.
I can compare it back to this one, I guess.
Cool. Look at that. There's a big market tease.
I know, right? Although I don't know.
Tune in next week. Is any of this more
in the show? We're just rambling right now.
Oh, you want to take that out?
Well, I don't know if you're leaving it in.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't. This show here. I really, really liked it. Not as strong to me as Carnival Row. That one, I cannot wait for season two. That's probably one of my favorite shows from last year. I just thought that was entertaining beginning to end and was, I mean, it's just a different show.
Yeah.
Same kind of meaning,
well,
but
yeah,
it's a different show.
You know, again, if we're going to go that route, I mean, there's lots of things I'm looking forward to before season two of this.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. Like, I don't think it's in my top five of shows that I watched last year, but
yeah.
But I definitely would look forward to a season two. But it's not something, I guess, season two hasn't been announced yet. So, I mean, I guess if it doesn't ever come, you know, I'm satisfied with the ending. So, I don't necessarily
right.
need it.
No, but each episode was entertaining enough that it was, at least for me, after probably 3, 4, 5, whatever, they were entertaining enough that... You know, there's a lot of good action.
Right.
It, like we said, it was fun to watch each episode as it went on. So I would be intrigued to watch it again, watch a season two. But
I also, I guess to your point, depending on where the story goes, like I've already seen 15 seasons of Supernatural. So if this is just Supernatural, I don't really need it. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, to me, it has to come back with something meaningful.
Right.
You know?
That's why I was saying that. Like this season was so meaningful to me
right.
that it's like, well, you can't duplicate that. Maybe they tell a different story and take on a different
right.
topic. All right. What do you guys think? Did you see? Hopefully you saw October Faction. If you didn't,
well, if
we
you
just
didn't,
ruined everything
well, yeah.
for you.
I don't know why you're still listening at this point.
So you can yell at us on Twitter right. @brightside_chat, or you can email us to yell at us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. When it's really not our fault, you shouldn't have listened.
Right,
but
right.
we are thankful that you did.
We told you at the top that yep. we were going to spoil it.
everybody would be very thankful if you went to the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com and checked out all of those other podcasts. Actually, I don't know if I've heard anybody else watching October Faction.
Well, that's something, you know, again,
I haven't heard a lot of talk about. Oh,
I was
no.
just going to say what that.
Have,
I know we're wrapping
up the
show. What have
you watched this
week
has talked about it?
Yeah, it hasn't gotten a lot of conversation. Even like in my store, not a lot of people are coming in and talking about it. I haven't really seen the translation to people looking, you know, coming in and looking for the books or anything. Whereas I've sold several volumes of Lock and Key already since that's dropped. So I don't know how many people really watched this show, to be honest
with
you.
Well, Lock and Key is that's a Joe Hill.
That's Joe Hill, yes.
So I think that has a better pedigree
It has it had a bigger following, and it was definitely much more anticipated.
Yeah.
But I just don't, again, for as good as this show, at least as good as I think it was, I don't know how many people are watching it. You know, I don't know if anybody's talking about it. So.
Well, I recommend it.
And I do too.
I mean, I like I said, I thought it was definitely worth getting through the first couple and, like I said, really good show.
Yep.
So that's my rate, review, and subscribe of the show. Maybe you could go on iTunes and you could rate and review and subscribe on the Bright Side Chat.
On
that
our
would
show.
Be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so nice. Give us 5 stars. You know, don't tell us that we're awful.
Well, I mean, if you think we're awful, then tell us. If you think we're awful, tell us. That's how you get better.
Yeah, tell us privately. Tweet it.
Don't be afraid of a number, man.
It's just a number.
I get 1-star reviews for the store. It's not the end of the world.
Ew. Really?
Yeah, I've gotten them. It's not the end of the world.
That sticks.
That's how you get better.
No, that's true. That's true. It motivates you. That's for sure. All right. What do we got coming up this week? What do we got coming out on Wednesday?
We have Amethyst, issue number 1. That's going to be a 6-issue miniseries. Falcon and Winter Soldier, number 1 of 5 issues.
Any relation to the Disney Plus?
I would think there would be.
Think it's a prequel?
I don't know how connected the stories will be, to be honest with you, but I think it's more just because it's striking while the iron's hot than anything.
Right.
I don't expect the two stories to be similar because they'd have to, they'd have to wrap Endgame into the whole comic world. So we have,
wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean, stranger things have happened, I guess. Giant Size X-Men number 1 comes out this week. And of course the big one that nobody will be able to get is Year of the Villain, Hell Arisen number 3. Hope you've already ordered it.
Sorry, I gotta put a wah wah under it.
And that's it.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Year of the Villain.
We will.
I know we have it.
Yep.
So we'll tell you all about it if you didn't get it.
Again, second printings are already on the way. So if you care about the story, you'll be able to get it. If you care about quick money, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
We care about the story, so.
Yeah, that's clearly. I'm not making any money off this. So it's all about the story for me. All right. We will see you with some Hell Arisen talk. on Thursday. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.